Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. If you've listened to the broadcast for any period of time, you know that sometimes what we say is not politically correct, and you get a lot of pushback. And therefore, the letters that you get of appreciation are that much more welcome. They bolster your spirit. Here's one. Hi, Hank. I've been listening to your broadcast for over 3 months now, and I just want to tell you and thank you that all you do is something that is very much appreciated. Matter of fact, I don't believe there's enough thanks for all the work that you do. You've really inspired me in a huge way, not only to stand for the truth, but also see the truth within me. God bless you and your ministry. I will continue to support your ministry. I learn the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So let me end with this verse for you, my brother in Christ. It comes from Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you again, and may God bless you, Rosemary. And again, this letter and the sentiment expressed in this letter is deeply appreciated. You know, as reading through the book of Jeremiah, memorizing some of its chapters a while back, and I was thinking about the contrast between Jeremiah and Hananiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and for a reason, he was telling the people what they did not want to hear. He was warning them of impending doom. And as a result of that, he was beaten. He was thrown in a well. He was treated roughly. He did not have the things of the world. He was deprived of many things, including food at times. On the other hand, you had Hananiah. He was a prophet that all the people loved, because Hananiah would tell the people precisely what their itching ears wanted to hear. And so he lived in the king's court, as it were, in the lap of luxury. But in the end, Jeremiah predicted that Hananiah would die, and that in a short period of time. And I suppose that message should ring clear for all of us. Our audience should be an audience of one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we will stand before him. And in that day, all the popularity and all the accolades, the platform, all the things that could come from being politically correct will not matter, because then we will face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account for what we did while in the flesh. Remember, there's no foundation other than Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes that clear. But on that foundation, we can build, either using gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And the day of the Lord will reveal what kind of materials we were using in building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if what we did was for the praises of men or popularity, it will be consumed. If it was done for the kingdom and its consummation, we will receive reward. Never forget those words in Scripture. They apply to each one of us. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Or as Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, for moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I say all of that in that I deeply appreciate those that encourage us, not only through letters, but through your prayers and through your financial support. Sometimes it can be very lonely when people abandon you as a result of what you say. But again, what is not said for politically correct purposes or popularity. It is said for one purpose, and that is truth matters. As Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Again, all of this simply to say I deeply appreciate the prayers, the support, the letters of those who are encouraging me to continue on in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Ryan, a Canadian listener, Vancouver, British Columbia, listening on KARI. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
First, I just want to jump on what you just said. I personally want to thank you very, very much in CRI for all the resources that you've put out that help equip Christians. And for me, I've been listening to you about 4 or 5 years, and through your help and it's in mining the scripture for all it's worth, it's ripped the complacency out of me. It's ripped the laziness out of me. It made the scripture come alive. And that is very, very important to nowadays. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you've done for me and my family and how the Bible speaks. It is a living word. It's such an amazing... My relationship has completely changed with God and the way I view the Bible. So I just want to thank you for what you're doing and just encourage you to keep going and don't stop. And I've got all your books and Osteen vacations on the way. So I just want to thank you for everything, first of all.
Bless you, Ryan. Those words are deeply appreciated.
No problem. My conundrum I'm having right now is I've got a cousin who is a really, really staunch humanist / naturalist. And him and I always have a dialogue. And with him, for some reason with him, my heart aches for him because I know he could be great, but he's choosing not to look at the evidence where the evidence leads. And right now, him and I are talking about the existence of Jesus. So he is of the opinion that Jesus never existed. It's all misinformation. It's all storytelling. And I've tried to talk to him about Thallus and Tacitus and Sionius and the Talmud and all these other guys that are extra biblical references, because I can't bring the Bible into the argument yet because he doesn't accept it for anything. So I have to use secular references to the life of Christ in this argument, and right now he just is not getting it. So I've got Gary Habermas's book, The Historical Jesus, which is very, very helpful, but I just need to know from you, what would you recommend to say to him? Because he's given me a list of like 20 scholars of probably the fringe few who still hold to the notion that Jesus didn't exist, because all self-respecting scholars nowadays admit that he does. So I don't know, how would you approach this, or what reference is there for me to go to on the next step?
Well, I think you're going in a good direction right now, but look, it's only the fringe, as you've alluded to, that believe that there was not a historical Jesus. Now, many of the Jesus scholars, the Jesus Seminar scholars, they totally accept the fact that Jesus Christ existed, but what they do is they rip the supernatural out of the scriptures and so forth, so that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mythology. There was no resurrection. There was no virgin birth and these kinds of things. So they demythologized the Bible. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's the reason for this? The reason is that the people in this sector of scholarship are close-minded. They have an anti-supernatural bias. So they look at the world through the lens of only philosophical naturalism, only that which can be explained through natural processes appeal to them, and they reject a priori, prior to consideration, supernatural explanations for the universe in which they live. And I think that's exceedingly close-minded, and that point should be made with gentleness and with respect, because, look, the universe itself demands a supernatural cause. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself, and the universe is no exception. And so they're in the philosophically implausible position of supposing that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. The other thing, however, is that you look at some of these scholars that hold the position that you've alluded to. They start with all kinds of arguments that have no historical veracity. For example, they hold many times to Gnostic Gospels. And again, that's not because of good, sound scholarship. It is solely because of bias. And so the bias is simply that the Gospels can't be used as an apologetic for the historical Jesus Christ, because the Gospels themselves are the result of historical winners. And therefore, the Bible that was produced was in line with the direction winners wanted to take their newly minted religious notions. And as a result, dozens of credible Gospels simply lost out. And then when you start to talk about those credible Gospels, the devil is in the details. So you talk about the Gospel of Judas. Wow, I cannot believe the way the Gospel of Judas is extolled. And in fact, I thought, wow, there must be something to this. So one day in my office, a colleague, Stephen and I, we worked together for over 20 years. We sat in my office and we read the 13 papyrus pages that constitute the Gospel of Judas. By the end, we were both laughing. Why? Because it's incoherent, and quite frankly, it's laughable. You compare that with a literary masterpiece of surpassing brilliance, such as the Gospel of John, and you can only scratch your head when people laud the Gospel of Judas over the Gospel of John and say, wow, there is some real academic bias here. It's not as though people came to this subject with a white lab coat on. Or you hear people like Elaine Pagel. She extols the Gospel of Judas. And I can never figure out how a woman like Elaine Pagels would do that. Because if you actually read the Gospel of Thomas, it is patriarchal to the extreme. I mean, in the Gospel of Thomas, yeah, this conversation between Peter and Jesus, where Simon Peter says to Jesus, make Mary leave us because females don't deserve life. And then Jesus says, look, I have a solution. I'm going to guide Mary and make her male so that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every female who makes herself male will enter the domain of heaven. That particular passage in particular has always struck me as being, wow, you get to scratch your head. Why would someone who is a feminist want to laud a gospel with patriarchal information in it like that? When you read the gospels that we have in the Bible, you find the inverse. There's neither male nor female, we are one in Christ, or the Gospels that laud women as the first to attest to the most significant event in the whole of biblical history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you just recognize that what is at the root of this is a bias. So what do? You do the very thing that you're doing. You equip yourself to always be ready to give an answer. So when these issues are raised, you're ready. But you can't force feed anyone. You can only prepare yourself. That's why I say so often, Ryan, we're not called as much to be evangelists as we are to be those who are equipped for evangelism. In other words, if we're equipped for evangelism, evangelism will happen. God will give us opportunities. But we can't force feed anyone. We can only be ready, prepared to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect.
Yeah, exactly. And he's, again, he's just such a hard one, and I thank you again for equipping me with all this stuff, because it does come much easier now, being able to have a logical path through all this stuff. And he, I guess that's why I just ache for him, because I just don't understand how people can buy that stuff hook, line, and sinker. So I thank you for your time, and God bless your ministry, and stay strong, Hank.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate your call so much. You have buoyed my spirit at just the right time. By the way, we have I still call this new. It's really not that new anymore. It's over 6 months old, but it's the Daily E-Truth, and a lot of people haven't heard about it. Thousands and thousands of people are signing up for it. It's free. Just go to equip.org/e-truth, and you will receive videos and answers to questions directly to your inbox. Again, all you have to do is go to equip.org/e-truth. Be right back.
To a true freedom fighter, there is a thought more chilling than losing a critical battle. It's running out of ammunition and not being able to defend what is more precious to him than life itself. As I survey the battlefield today and contemplate the ever-mounting assaults on biblical truth, my mind irresistibly turns not only to our ability as Christians to hold our ground, but to reclaim precious ground lost to a rising tide of secularism. Yet whether we're holding ground or advancing into occupied territory, the prayers and financial support of our ministry partners are the ammo that make the fight possible. Without your support, a genuine advance is unthinkable. With your support, we can turn the tide. To help ensure our readiness for the battles we will encounter in the days ahead, and to help us ensure that you are equipped to defend biblical truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's Magic Apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
To ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, call 888-7000-CRI now. and make a generous gift today. That's 888-7000-CRI. How can the church share the good news with people whose intellectual capabilities are affected by disability? We must begin by understanding that the range of intellectual disability includes some who can express faith and others who cannot, and then adapt our approaches accordingly. In the Effective Evangelism column, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal explores sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
One of the contributors to the Christian Research Journal is Casey Luskin. He's an attorney with a graduate degree in both science and law. He's a research coordinator for the Discovery Institute in Seattle, Washington, and co-founded the Intelligent Design and Evolution Awareness Center. And he has contributed to the Christian Research Institute's newest edition of the journal in a Viewpoint article on the Ken Ham, Bill Nye creation debate, which he considers to be a missed opportunity. Casey, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You know, interesting article. You say in this article that Bill Nye, the science guy, has science, Ken Ham has the Bible, but I wonder whether either has what they claim to have. You point out in the article that Ken Ham is really misinterpreting the scripture on a lot of points, and Bill Nye does the precise same thing when it comes to science. You give, as an example, tictactic. It is described by Bill Nye as a fish lizard, simply wrong. And then he parades these illustrations of hominid skulls, sort of the icon becoming the argument.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Bill Nye is a lot less informed about the science of Darwinian evolution than a lot of folks in the public think he is. The fins of Tiktaalik are entirely fish-like. It does not have lizard qualities, and Bill Nye cites what he calls an amazing prediction that Tiktaalik fulfilled of Darwinian theory. And what he's referring to is claims that have been made by evolutionary defenders like Jerry Coyne, who said that the stratigraphic placement in the fossil record of Tiktaalik comes right between sort of the fish and that us four-legged organisms called tetrapods descended from and true tetrapods in the fossil record. So it's sort of in this intermediate position in the layers of the geological record. And that's the prediction that Bill Nye thinks Tiktaalik fulfilled. Apparently, Bill Nye is unaware of the fact that there have now been true tracks of tetrapods discovered about 18 million years in the fossil record before Tiktaalik. So you can't be an ancestor to the organisms that supposedly existed, you know, 18 million years before you. And I think that he's probably just unaware that this prediction went belly up. So, yeah, Tiktaalik is not a fish lizard. I think Bill Nye just isn't aware of the facts on this issue. And one of the ironies of this entire debate was that Bill Nye was the one who was defending Big Bang cosmology, and viewers never heard that the Big Bang is one of the best arguments for intelligent design of the universe ever offered by science. So, I think that viewers really will get a distorted picture of the evidence, and they certainly won't learn that there are other ways to interpret the Bible that are not a young earth perspective that Ken Ham offers.
What's so interesting is if you look at the genealogies that you find throughout the Bible, but certainly in Genesis, while they're being used to present a 6,000-year-old earth, the fact of the matter is the genealogies are quite obviously symmetrical. They're not sequential. And not a single biblical author anywhere throughout the whole of the biblical text uses them to present a chronology of creation. So we get stuck on this point, and yet While this isn't an acid test for orthodoxy, it certainly does become an objection on the part of so many people to the biblical account of origins.
Yeah, and that's what's unfortunate, is that, you know, I'm not here to tell people they can't interpret the Bible in a young earth way if that's what they want to do. It's not my viewpoint. I do not interpret the Bible in a young earth perspective. But the real tragedy here is that the stereotype that there are only two views, that there is sort of the young earth creationist interpretation of the Bible or the hardcore atheist materialist worldview, that those are the only two choices, that is the stereotype that was presented by this debate. And it's a false choice. It's a false dichotomy. There are other legitimate views for Christians to hold and for atheists to realize, hey, if your reason for, you know, rejecting maybe the Christian faith is because you think, you know, the earth is older than 6,000 years, that's really not a good reason, because there are lots of folks out there who I think accept the Bible and also believe in a billions of year old earth.
Talk about the ID movement. I mean, here you have a movement that is committed to following truth wherever it leads, but so often stereotypically depicted as being a science stopper.
Yeah, well, intelligent design is a scientific theory which says that some aspects of life and the universe are best explained by an intelligent cause rather than an undirected cause like natural selection. And as you said, Hank, lots of critics of ID like to call it a science stopper. They will claim it's not even science, that it's just religion. But when you look into intelligent design, you find that not only is it based upon the empirical evidence, but it actually does open up many important scientific questions which I think can allow scientists to do further research. We could talk about topics like junk DNA, the idea that our cells are full of useless genetic garbage that doesn't do anything. Well, ID predicted years ago, going back to the mid-1990s, that the junk DNA concept was wrong. And guess what's happened in just the last maybe 5 or 7 years? The whole paradigm of junk DNA has been overturned by new research in genetics confirming this positive prediction of intelligent design. And that's a good example of how ID can guide scientific research and make useful predictions and give us useful tools for understanding what we see in nature. There are many other examples. And again, taking it back to the Ken Ham, Bill Nye debate, one of my, disappointments about the debate was that viewers will hear none of this. They won't learn about this exciting, scientifically based theory of intelligent design that can help us make sense of the universe, because it was pretty much entirely left out of the debate.
We're talking to Casey Luskin. He is the author of an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. The article is titled, "The Ken Ham, Bill Nye Creation Debate, A Missed Opportunity." And as Casey correctly points out, this was a missed opportunity. One of the things that you note is a quote by Bill Nye, the science guy. He speculates that the Earth is an insignificant speck of soil that's aimlessly adrift in a meaningless universe. In fact, he says, "I am just another speck of sand. The Earth is another speck. The sun is another speck. The galaxy is a speck. I'm a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks amongst still other specks in the middle of a speckless universe. I suck." Now is Earth a privileged planet, or is it an insignificant, meaningless speck adrift in a galaxy which is one of billions of galaxies, each with billions, hundreds of billions of stars?
Well, that's a great question. And before I answer it, I think we should point out that lots of folks like to think of Bill Nye as this sort of objective spokesperson for science. When he made those comments that you just quoted, he was giving a speech before the American Humanist Association accepting their Humanist of the Year award. So he's not exactly a nonpartisan in this debate. But you're absolutely right. Earth is not an insignificant speck. It is, as many ID proponents have said, it is a privileged planet. You can read a book called The Privileged Planet by Guillermo Gonzalez, an astronomer, and Jay Richards, a philosopher, and they make the argument that there are many unique properties of both Earth and our universe that make it specially suited for life. The distance of the Earth from the Sun, for example, puts it right in a special band where you can have liquid water that's necessary for life. Or the position of the Earth within our galaxy is in something called the galactic habitable zone, where there's just enough heavy elements to allow for terrestrial planets like Earth and many of the elements that we need for life. But there's not as much radiation as there would be in other parts of the galaxy that would kill off life. So Earth is in this special zone called the galactic habitable zone. Earth is also special because its position allows for scientific discovery. We're situated between two spiral arms in our galaxy where there's much less dust than other parts of the galaxy, and this allows us to see the stars and do scientific observations. There are many other properties of Earth that make it special, and unfortunately, taking sort of a Carl Sagan-esque view, Bill Nye, he himself sort of just ignores the evidence that contradicts his materialistic position.
Talking to Casey Luskin, and again, he's a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. With your six-issue subscription or gift subscription, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal absolutely free. You can subscribe online at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. One of the things you mentioned in the article, Casey, is the Cambrian explosion. Seems as though very few people know that the Cambrian explosion has uprooted Darwin's tree of life.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that you've had Stephen Meyer on talking about his book, Darwin's Doubt, which explores this Cambrian explosion in great detail. Basically, nearly all of the major living animal phyla appear in the fossil record during what's been called a geological blink of the eye about 530 million years ago in the Cambrian explosion, and they appear abruptly without evolutionary precursors. And what's interesting about this is that Bill Nye says during the debate that nature is inconsistent with the top-down view of intelligent design. The idea is so that sort of you don't see this gradual upward evolution that some would say Darwinian theory predicts. That there's a he would say that's what we see rather than a top-down appearance. But in fact, the Cambrian explosion has been described by a leading paleontologist as a top-down appearance of the major groups of animals, because you get all these diverse groups, the major living animal phyla appear without precursors, without this gradual buildup. It's the precise opposite of the pattern that Darwin predicted, and instead I think it's much more consistent with intelligent design. I wouldn't expect Bill Nye to even necessarily know about this. Again, I don't think that he is really the well-informed spokesperson on evolutionary topics that some folks might think he is. He's kind of just a pop evolution guy. That's his approach to the issue.
During the debate, he is showing a slide that's crammed with photos of hominid skulls as if somehow that demonstrated something about human evolution. As you point out, there's a distinct break in the fossil record between human-like and ape-like fossils, and skull sizes through time make a very poor argument for the gradual evolution of humans. Again, people see these kinds of images and think the image makes the argument. In reality, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. These are what Jonathan Wells called the icons of evolution, famous pictorial depictions of the evidence for evolution that actually are false when you look at the data. And again, I doubt that Bill Nye is even aware that when you look at sort of skull sizes through time in the fossil record, there's a distinct and abrupt jump in their sizes that corresponds to the appearance of our genus Homo in the fossil record. There's not sort of the slow, gradual evolutionary view that he showed in this slide.
Casey Luskin, again, he's a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. He wrote the article for the current edition titled The Ken Ham Bill Nye Creation Debate, A Missed Opportunity. It was a great article. Look forward to everybody receiving it and benefiting from your wisdom. Glad to have you on the broadcast.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Casey. God bless you. And we're going to come back at the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back.
Is animal rights a biblical concern? The animal rights movement has garnered much publicity but made little difference in the way animals are treated in America. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal features a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning the animal rights movement and the efforts of some Christians to develop a theology of animal rights, including a special afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. C.S. Lewis once said, "Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Apologetics is now hot stuff, but with popularity comes the danger of zeal getting ahead of knowledge and character. Christian defenders need to know the arguments of apologetics, but they must also find their moral bearings to carry the truth nobly, because both life and truth matter. Other topics include, is animal rights a biblical concern? Rethinking parenthood and the biblical foundations of the family. Sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Joyce Meyer in the 21st century. John Hagee's magic apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. To ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, go online now to equip.org and make a generous gift today. That's equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Barb. She's listening in Linden, Washington, K-A-R-I. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I just, I had to ask you, first of all, if you've ever been to or heard of Lyndon, Washington.
I have, yes.
You have, yeah. It's filled with your kind of people.
A lot of Dutchmen.
A lot of Dutchmen,
yes.
And 18 Christian Reformed churches just about on every corner here. And that was one of my questions for you. I was raised CRC. I was curious if you were.
Yes. Yes, I was. In fact, I was born in Holland, so I was actually raised in, when I lived in Holland, or from the time that I was in Holland to the time that we immigrated, I was part of what was called the Gereformeerde Kerk.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, so interesting. But anyway, I wanted to say that. I feel like we have something in common. I mean, everybody here in Lyndon, you know, when they graduated in my day, it was either Calvin or Dort. There was no question. now it's changed. But
yes.
Anyway, I work at a school, and there's been big discussion lately about this blood red moon, this current event that we have going right now. And I just wonder if you've done any research, have any insight on it. I know it's mentioned in Joel 2:33, and we've been talking about how one of the girls said it's because it only happens before Passover every so many years. I just wonder if you can tell me anything about it.
Sure.
Because we're talking about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad information out with respect to four blood moons. And in general, let me say this, when you hear the language of sun, moon, and stars in Joel or in Isaiah, you immediately recognize that it is apocalyptic judgment language. For example, the language is used in Isaiah chapter 13 with respect to the Medes and Persians overwhelming the Babylonians and putting out the light of the Babylonian Empire. In Joel, you hear it as a judgment against the nations. In the New Testament, Jesus uses the language as judgment language against Jerusalem. And John does the same thing in Revelation chapter 6. But there's no such thing as a tetrad or four blood moons that you find anywhere in the scripture. The purveyors of current four blood moon hysteria are quite frankly false prophets on par with Harold Camping, the now deceased Harold Camping, who was Armageddon Incorporated. He came up with one theory after the other and continually was predicting the time of the end, and he made a cottage industry out of writing books on it. Now you have people like John Hagee doing the same thing, and he is predicting that the coming four blood moons point to a world-shaking event that will happen sometime between April 2014 and October 2015. He says something that's going to change world history forever. Now, by the way, that's sort of unfalsifiable, because no matter what happens, there will be an earth-shaking event that occurs. They always do. And so he's got an easy way out. He says the four blood moons means that we're running out of time. And he says when the moon is eclipsed, it is a sign of God's judgment on the enemies of Israel and so forth. So he makes a lot of these apocalyptic statements. But what in reality he and others are doing is subverting the natural use of the heavenly bodies that God ordained for a superstitious use that God disdains. The natural use of the heavenly bodies is precisely what Scripture depicts. It is to separate day and night, to serve as signs to mark seasons, days and years, to give light on the earth. And this natural use is being subverted. They're also failing to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So when that language of judgment is used, they're reading it in a literalistic sense that makes sheer nonsense out of the Scripture. For example, in the same context, you have the stars falling to the sky. Well, one star falling from the sky and hitting the earth would obliterate the earth. So it is obviously judgment language, not to be taken in a wooden literalistic sense. So that leads me to the point that what is involved here is a gross misrepresentation of Scripture. Again, nowhere in the whole of Scripture is there any reference to four blood moons. And then there's a gross misrepresentation of the facts. And you allude to that. People are making all kinds of statements, but the statements don't comport with reality. the tetrads invariably occurred in history in correspondence with significant events related to Jewish people, according to these purveyors of mythology. And if you actually look at the facts, you find out that the facts are fabricated or coalesced in such a way that they comport well with their theory, but not comport well with the historical facts. As far as the Jewish calendar that you allude to, it is a lunar calendar, and thus, when eclipses happen, they invariably will occur in the context of the Jewish festivals. So that's no great surprise, and they capitalize on that. So bottom line in all of this is it's a bunch of mythology, sensationalism, sophistry, and script torture.
Okay. Yeah, one of the comments made was, you just watch. Something's going to happen with Israel in the next few weeks. Something major is going to happen in Israel.
Yeah, and you know what? These purveyors of sophistry are just wrong 100% of the time, every single time. Every single time they set a date, they're wrong. I mean, first it was 1948, and you add 40 years, a generation to that, subtract 7, you have the time of Christ's secret coming, 1981. That didn't work, and so they said, no, it's a six-day war. They add 40 years to that, subtract 7, they came up with the year 2000. That didn't work. Then they said, well, maybe a generation isn't 40 years, maybe it's 50 years. And they came up with 51.2 or 51.3 years, came up with a new date, and on it goes. But the fact of the matter is they're always wrong. Because the Bible gives us no timetable for the future whatsoever. What it promises us is that in the future, Jesus will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. He will forever deal with the problem of sin, Satan. We will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. That's what we look forward to and long for. So there may well be something concerning Israel that takes place this year or the next, but if so, it will have nothing to do with this notion of four blood moons.
All right, good. You've given me a little more to go on in our interesting conversations. And thank you so much for all the research and time you put into this. I don't have the energy or the time to do it, and I just am so thankful that someone does. I appreciate it. And never forget that if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much.
Well, goeiedag. Dank je wel.
Yes, goeiedag.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you, Barb. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And don't forget our resource consultants. They're standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, thank you for your encouragement, for your prayers, and for your financial support. Many of you who have been following the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for years know that we have the ending of our calendar year, but we also have the ending of our fiscal year, which comes up June 30. So let me say this. Omar Bradley, who was one of the most famous American generals of World War II, reflected on the horrendous war that had concluded only 3 years earlier. And in his reflection, he said, "We know that unless free peoples stand boldly and united against the forces of aggression, they may fall wretchedly, one by one, into the web of oppression." And although aggression, and you can think about aggression in Syria or Afghanistan, is blatantly physical in the sense that Bradley was talking about it, the aggression that most concerns me is of a far more subtle nature. It is the relentless assault on life and truth, and even the assault on common decency right here in our own backyards. It's an assault we're called to resist with every fiber of our being. The assault on life through abortion now claims over 1.2 million unborn babies per year. You know, we say the 0.2 as though it's nothing. But think about this. 1,000,000.2 unborn babies per year. That's more than 57 million. These are chilling numbers that should cause us to weep and wail in anguish. And yet, the silent Holocaust continues 24/7 with rarely so much as a comment in our national news. And what about the assault on truth? Well, in some sectors, the combined ravages of postmodern deconstructionism, as well as secularism, have so disemboweled traditional notions of truth that even the concept of objective truth or moral absolutes now sounds, well, curiously quaint. Throughout history, there have been three stages in the demise of civilizations. You go from spiritual apostasy to moral depravity, and from moral depravity to political anarchy. And while thankfully we have yet to reach the stage of political anarchy, no thinking person can doubt that we are well beyond the initial stage of apostasy and we're gaining momentum on moral depravity. Just as the sheer, material might of North America played a pivotal role in crushing the tyranny that threatened free peoples during World War II, so too the Christian Research Institute's financial resources play a pivotal role in our ability to stand daily for life and truth. The brutal fact is that without the resources to continue standing for life and truth, we are as inconsequential as soldiers who have run out of ammo. And again, because our financial year closes June 30, I'll ask you to please do what you can today. We have a very substantial goal to meet, and we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, thank you for your encouragement, for your prayers, and for your financial support.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. To ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, call 888-7000-CRI now and make a generous gift today. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities, For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.